I, in this avatar, Krishna's position is not mentioned. His avatar, no? And could be place
him somewhere? Who? So he is recognized as avatar. So
in Dasavatar, in Indian,
Christ is not mentioned in some tradition. Krishna is mentioned. Some traditions replace Christ with Balaram. If you read the Vaishnava version, it is Balaram. But we can answer that. We can start with please sit. So avatar is, of course, not an arbitrary, like nowadays, there is a tendency to call everybody as an avatar and, you know, we have. But there is a logic and a process. It's not like, see, faith is a different thing. Anybody can say anything about anyone. But avatar does the same thing for the earth, what the psychic being does for man. Meaning thereby, the cycles are moving upward through up and down through life and death. So avatar does the same thing in terms of carries on the evolutionary journey of the earth and mankind. That means that, well, let's come to the original idea, and that connects with the logic of transformation also. So the logic of transformation is ekoham bahushyam, the one wants to become many. So one becoming many can be randomly just throwing out things from, you know, becoming many. But then there has to be a power which brings out things in terms of space and time. Orders them, marshals them. There is a line in one of the Upanishad, marshals thy race, Isha Upanishad. So there has to be a power which not only brings out the possibilities, arranges them in terms of time and space and organizes it simultaneously and leads it towards its great culmination. So there has to be a threefold power. The power to apprehend, the power to comprehend, and the power to represent. Let me make it very simple. So there is the will of the owner or the malik that I want such a factory. So there has to be a power which comprehends the entire truth. Then this power must represent each. Okay, this manager, this department, that represents. So each thing must represent some truth of that idea. And then it must apprehend the future towards which it must move. All these three powers of the divine is what is supermind. So what the supermind does as the real idea, as the truth consciousness, is buried in every particle of creation. So it already has the blueprint. So basically we are all safe. I mean, in the sense, the original blueprint is there within creation, within each element. Now this, according to this blueprint, it is carrying creation towards its great goal. And there is the long preparation, the journey, all this is, you know, we read about in the morning. If there are more questions, we can talk about it. We have our own evaluation of things because we don't understand. Ye good hai ki bad hai. Our evaluation is based on our egocentric view. If something suits me, it is good. Somebody pleases me, he is the best person on earth. Somebody criticizes me, he is my enemy number one. That's our ignorant evaluation. But if you see logically, very often people who criticize us are good guys. They are taking our burden on themselves. And they are sparing us the task of looking inside. They are helping us. They are poor fellows because they are unfortunately all the time if you see negative in someone, but they are helping us to evolve. So in that grand plan, everything is... There is a line in Savitri, he fits faultlessly the time and the circumstance. So, desh, kal and paristhiti, time, space, causality, which we hear in Vedanta, they are instruments of this supermind who is pushing from behind everything towards its great culmination. Now, this is the backdrop of the story. This story has several chapters. As you push things, now beyond a point, you know, things either are not able to go further or they break down or there is a confusion. Now at that juncture when there is a confusion because there is the energy which has gone into pushing it. Now that juncture there is a crisis. And in that crisis the avatar comes to take it one step forward. Let's take an example of Parshuramji. When does he come? At the end of Satyug. And that's when there is a crisis. The Kshatriya power, the, you know, Sahasra Arjun, all these violent, aggressive energies which have come into play. So Parshuramji comes and finishes them. So he balances. He says, this won't do. But now this energy of Parshuramji which has gone, it is a tremendous power. So how to moderate it? So he has taken a vow. Each avatar is staying with his course that, well, any Kshatriya power which tries to assert itself, I am going to finish. So comes the next avatar. Who is the next avatar? Lord Ram. So Shri Ram comes, and then there is that famous Samvad, one of my favorite ones, that when Dhanush Yagya takes place and, you know, the bow is broken, Parshuramji is very angry. He comes to know there is a Kshatriya who has done this. So he comes and says, I am going to, you know, there is a lot of discussion between him and hot talk between him and Lakshman ji. And then at one point, he almost, you know, he says to Lord Rama, you are very modest and gentle, huh? But your brother, no, I am going to finish him. Don't, you know, then don't blame me. That is the time when Lord Rama intervenes. He says, everything is fine. Don't do one mistake of challenging us, Suryavansi, Ikshvaku, Rajkumar, to a battle. Because if you challenge, even if death challenges us, we will take it. And if we take the challenge, even with death, he will think twice that we did a mistake. That's the time when Parshuram realizes that here is a true Kshatriya who combines Soumya and Rodra together, balances them. So that's when the story, to cut the long story short, he finally throws his axe, and as we know, you know, Kerala is the result of that. The land came out. So this is the story where the Kshatriya energies subordinate themselves to something which is still greater. So that energy. Now Ram comes, he establishes a dharma in the, you know, he establishes something very beautiful known as Maryada. Maryada Purushottam. He is divine, but he lives in Maryada. He lives by the rules. And that's why he has to do things which we cannot understand. He has to, you know, abandon or banish Sita, because there's the Maryada. He can't say that time, I am the king, I'll do according to my wish. So they are the Maryadas which he establishes in an animal world. So those Maryadas continue. Now comes Krishna. Now those very Maryadas which Rama has set become a problem in the age of Krishna. That's where, see, the famous one, Dharmo Rakshati Rakshita, when Draupadi says, when they all challenge and question, how can a lady who is married to 5 husbands become a queen or an empress? So Sri Krishna goes beyond those Maryadas. That is the difference. Both have come for dharma. But see, dharma has a time connotation in our history, in our understanding, that dharma has an eternal element, sanatana, and dharma has also, in the unfolding, there is a yug dharma, there is a kal dharma, there is a desh kal dharma, apad dharma, stri dharma, purush dharma, you go on. So now comes Sri Krishna, who breaks those because they have become subject to misuse. And he goes beyond to sarvadharman parityaja mamekam. There is only one dharma, to surrender to the divine will. Now, in certain schemes, in the traditional Vaishnava, you don't have Christ. Some don't even mention Buddha, though in the Dashavatara story, Buddha is mentioned. But you know how Buddha is mentioned? Very interestingly, Buddha is mentioned as an avatar of Vishnu. His name is Maya Moha, and he comes to take away the asuras out of the creation. So Buddha says anatmavad. That's what asuras want. No God, no surrender. Though he said, Buddham sharnam gachami, Sangham sharnam gachami, Dharmam sharnam gachami. That's why you will see Buddhism could never take roots in India. It took roots all over the world. Because, you know, you don't have to surrender, you can keep that, and you learn compassion, wonderful thing. Then comes even Christ. So what does Christ come? He wants to bring compassion. And same teaching, Christ had come to India. He learned from, you know, Vaishnava saints, and he learned from the Kashmir, Shaivite Buddhism. All this is now well-known fact, suppressed by the Christian world. Lost Years of Christ, the book, you know, Christ came to India. So he went and spoke what Buddha has taught, but in a way that those barbarians, the original barbarians, they called us primitive, but anyways, the original barbarians who put their own saint on the cross. So he came to teach and humanize that world. But again we see that he humanized them, but what was the result? The result was that they turned Christ's crucified body into a means to get money. Tomb of Christ. And Vatican, if you see, it has an army, it has, God knows, you know, paraphernalia if you look at it. So all this, the avatars have come at each stage in different layers of humanity to take it one step forward. But forward towards what? Towards the great consummation, ekoham bahushyama. Each of us is the divine, soham asmi. That Purusha and this is he, that is the same. But the fact is, deep within it is true, but not in our nature. It is true that, you know, that Purusha and this Purusha are same. But if you look at our nature, it is far from that. So now comes the moment through all this preparation, like several lives for the grand consummation, where earth is somewhat ready to take the great leap toward the future. And that's where Sri Aurobindo comes. So what are the criteria? In fact, Sri Krishna has to be, he is the only person who speaks about the avatar. Before Sri Krishna, after Sri Krishna, there is mums the word, silence, nobody much speaks. So Sri Krishna gave criteria for avatar. Now some people question, how can, you know, the divine, the infinite become, take a human body? Sri Aurobindo's answer is, the whole universe is the proof the divine has become this creation. So it's, you know, sometimes we ask this question, that, well, tell me one thing that God cannot do. Now you are caught. Say that he cannot take a human body, then he's not omnipotent, sorry. He can, if he wishes. Of course, there is a process to it. Sri Aurobindo describes how the divine takes a human body. And Sri Krishna himself explains. He says that, you know, by my own nature, prakartim swam adhishtaya. That's the word he uses. Sri Aurobindo uses the same thing in God's labor. Coercing my Godhead, I have come down into this sordid earth, ignorant, laboring, human grown, twixt the dates of death and birth. So avatar takes that form, which is the form of that particular age, we see from Matsavatar onward. Now comes the time when we are ready for that leap. So Sri Aurobindo now reveals the final plan. It's like a story, which is a long story. Mera naam Joker, and it's going on, 3 hours, 6 hours, part one, part two. But toward the end, now you understand what really is the storyteller trying to tell us through all this. So now comes that, well, the story is that each of the elements has to become divine, not only in the essence, which we are divine in the essence, but also in the becoming. Means thereby our nature. So here again we see Sri Krishna gives the hint. He says that, look here, Arjun, I am going to describe to you the ignorant nature of ignorance. And he describes the, you know, Sankhya basis, he describes the eightfold nature, all this he describes. Then he says, now I will describe to you about my nature. He uses the word paraprakriti. And he gives a hint, the paraprakriti has become the jiva. Paraprakritim jiva bhuta. Each of us are child of the divine mother. Paraprakriti is none else but the divine mother. And then he describes very interestingly, in nature, whatever you see preeminent is myself. That's how the vibhuti yoga comes in. And then the grand vision, where he says everything is the divine. So this, in the process of manifesting the divine, up till now, prakriti, paraprakriti acts through the jiva. That's why swabhava and swadharma are so important. She presses upon the soul. And then you have the swadharma, something which comes. As I said, it was Bhim swadharma. He said, I even 200 I'll kill. You can't argue Bhim that, well, you are being immoral. That's swadharma. Swabhava niyat karma. So that's what the law given. Now we have to go beyond all laws. That's why you see the Chaturvarna. Chaturvarna came like that. Chaturvarna was basically established by Krishna, but it has been broken by Krishna because each type has developed. Now is the age when all of them will be put together and create a new type, where you will have the Shudra as the servitor of God. You will have the Kshatriya as the warrior of God. You will have the Vaishya who brings all the world's riches at the service of God. And you will have the Brahmin whose mind and wisdom will be nothing else but manifesting God. And this is the new type which is being created. So the old has been broken. You see, Chaturvarna was there. Sri Krishna says that I am the one who has become the four Varnas. But today you don't find Chaturvarna. Now you can't go back to the Chaturvarna because it's not to be done. Now you have a new type which is transcending them. In the new type, all the four come together in one. So that's how you have the fulfillment of the mind, the heart, vital and the physical in man. So basically, Shri Krishna gives, again coming to avatar, three or four criteria. One is dharma siglani, yada yada hi dharma siglani, crisis of dharma. Second is abhyutthanava dharma se tadatma shajamaham, that time I lose myself forth. And then he says paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam, dharma sansthapnaya thai sambhavami yogi yogi. Now after Sri Krishna, if you apply it to all the great ones, and I am saying this with responsibility, I have actually read much of the literature of the great ones, including the bhakti movement, the Arya Samaj, the Vedic Kal, and many of the literature, much of it I have read. So then it would fit first time into Sri Aurobindo. Time of intense crisis, dharmasya glani. Then you see it's complete midnight in every way that you see. And then comes that, well, paritranaya sadhunam. All the tendency of good aspiration of human beings, beautiful aspiration, they are released toward their final consummation. Then vinashaya cha duskritam. Who were the duskritam? The mlechhas. Who were the mlechhas? We know that. We can't be racist now. And then who were the other? The Second World War. Just like Sri Krishna conducted the entire Mahabharata sitting on a chariot, Sri Aurobindo conducted the Second World War sitting in the room, releasing the forces of goodness toward their own culmination. And dharma sansthapnaya, he gives a new yug dharma. And in this yug dharma, you cannot ignore material reality as if it is nothing. You have to conquer matter by the power of the spirit. You have to make matter manifest the spirit. This is the new yug dharma. And you will see all over the world people are somehow turning towards this new truth. So Sri Krishna is not only very much part of the avatar, he is the one who gave the criteria, if you like, of avatar. The only one who takes up after Sri Krishna is Sri Aurobindo. So avatar does exactly the same thing which a psychic being does for an individual, carries on the individual transformation. And that also is the logic of transformation which he picked up, because the real idea, the supermind, is the divine chip embedded inside. That's why in Savitri, Sri Aurobindo says, even should a hostile force cling to its reign and man refuse his high and splendid fate, yet shall the secret truth in things prevail. You cannot help it, because again, Sri Krishna shows the Vishwarupas. That's the same thing he says. He says, Arjun, you may sit, you may go away, it doesn't matter. I am giving you the privilege to be the instrument, but all these have been destroyed by me, this is going to be. So we can say that the supramental transformation is decreed in the beginning of things. And these are the three layers of supermind, the comprehending, the apprehending and the representative supermind. So it is pushing humanity, creation in fact, from the beginning. That's why you see in creation successive transformations. Transformation is very simple to understand actually. Every day you see a lotus blooming out of the mud. So some will keep looking at the mud. Some look toward the lotus bloom. What is the secret of the lotus blooming into a out of the mud into a, you know, out of the lotus seed into a lotus? Why does a seed turn into a tree? Precisely because the supramental is pushing from behind. This is truth that even biologists and geneticists are struggling to understand. Because genes are behaving in ways that now the latest is people say that, you know, it is impossible to understand. In fact, the latest article that I was reading is that there is a predictability in genes. It's not random. They observed that how certain genes just get washed away, how certain genes are encouraged, they come together. So there is a force which is pushing from behind. So that is the supermind which is pushing things from behind to manifest what is held back within. And it is the reason why many youngsters are suffering today. Because they feel the impulse to express this deeper truth. And all the old forms do not express it. This is the problem. And we want them to force fit into the old way. They will not force fit into the old way. And they don't know the new way. They are struggling. They are feeling stifled, and that has to be released. So supermind is the power which is pushing things, them itself. And as I said, why the lotus blooms? Well, its face is toward the sun. And the second is the arc. Shobindu gave that example. He says, you cannot understand the secret of the lotus by analyzing the mud. You can understand it by knowing the heavenly lotus which blooms as an archetype. So all that we have to become is already like a blueprint ready. See, the director already has the whole story. It unfolds in the cinema. You are sitting and saying, oh my God, poor hero, why is it happening to him? Don't worry. He will call the last shot. It looks impossible, but he will call the last shot. So we are enacting a story which has already been written, sealed, sanctioned, signed. Does it mean we have no role to play? We have a role to play. We must play our role. But play it with joy, not with anxiety and tension and what may happen. In fact, if we are happy, we'll play it very well. Play the role. But know that it is not we, the storyline, director, the power, everything belongs to the divine. And all that I have to do is to open, be receptive, and become a manifesting channel. That's all that is given to us. Nimitta matra bhava savya sachi. Nimitta matra. Nothing else. So it's so beautiful. That's what is happening today. We are playing a match which is prefixed. We behave like that. It has been prefixed. In fact, mother goes on to say, somebody was asking about, you know, that why so many people, they don't feel that aspiration worship. The day you aspire, that means it has been granted. Secret is this. You will not aspire till you are ready. It is waiting. The day aspiration is born, aspiration is only to now to take you to the point which has already been decided. Aspiration means it's like the GPS indicator is on. So, whatever we aspire for, that's the secret of yoga. People often ask, what method should I follow? I am doing this mantra, that mantra, which is better. And you know, sometimes in the mind, they are, this is one is better or that one is better. Then, you know, mantra is not a mental process. You love your mother. Do you say, mama, which name should I call? Should I call you mama, mother, ma? I, Amma, where your heart connects. As a child, I would call my mother Mataji. Sounds very outdated, no? Pitaji. Now, when first time I came, there is a short way to call Mama. Mummy. Mom, not Mama, Mummy. Mama is now later. But I found difficult. You know, my heart was not feeling comfortable. Mummy sounded very... But now today, probably, I would say Mummy. It's okay, your heart should connect. So this is the basic thing we are here to learn, that she is leading us, aspiration is born, means that has been granted. Aspiration is only the journey of the Agni, which will lead us from point 1 to point B. It is the fuel. That's why aspiration is so important. And surrender to her, she will carry us. It's so simple, so wonderful. Everything has been decided, the heavenly lotus, each of us is a thought of God. And in the supramental creation, each of us has a place and a work. We read all that. Laborers in the quarries of the gods, messengers of the incommunicable, prophet and lover and communicant and king. All, everything has been decided. But we are, it's hidden from us. Why? This should be a joy, no? What is the point of, you know, you are told, you know, basically you are going to, what is the joy? Adventure. Spirit of adventure. Nobody enjoys if you pick up somebody from helicopter and put you in high altitude. We have our Air Force friend. once, first time to Ladakh, they took me in the flight. We had that time, AN-32 had not come. So Dakota and Avros, they would pick up and went to Ladakh. Oh, Leh is so wonderful. When I came out, people had told me, don't walk. So I said, Are you so lovely? All those movie scenes come to you, know, ye kahan aa gaye hum. So I took this suitcase and started walking. I felt so energetic, charged. After 10 steps, I was breathless. Then I realized, no, somebody had told me, don't do this. So I put the suitcase and just called. Luckily, the phone thing was very close. I'm talking of the Air Force setup. So I just called my senior medical officer. I said, sir, he said, you don't speak a word, stay where you are, I'm coming. He understood. He understood what foolishness this young fellow has done. So you see, if unprepared we walk into a utopia, it will not be a utopia. It is like Shiva sending all the asuras to heaven, Somnatheshwara, by pouring milk. They went there and started fighting for Kamadhenu. Because they don't understand that there is something called as, what is it called, collective truth, that Kamadhenu is everybody's, everybody will take according to need. They don't understand. So all of them started fighting. I will possess Kamadhenu. Then Lord Ganpati had to intervene. They are thrown out. Said, you don't deserve this heaven. So man's heart has to, all this is a process to prepare us. Already mother has prepared the food, but we don't have the appetite for that. So she is awakening the appetite. So that's all. It's wonderful. The future is more certain than the rise of tomorrow's sun. What more can one say? Yes, any question? Sorry. Yeah. Yes, please. I can hear.
Divine, which is another matter, the course of the evolutions might express itself. And up to man, it has been an unconscious evolution. From here, we have to strive to do
the yes.
This is linear in its approach. But we also read about
cyclic approach, yes.
Ramayana, Rishis,
yes.
People have already reached that. Why is this?
Yes, so time has both linear and cyclic movements. So first the part of the molding of the... So the first thing is that the ordinary theory that God has created world like a potter shapes the clay. But then where is the clay coming from? It's coming from the divine himself. So there is a passage in Savitri, out of the immortal substance you were made. Your life, your acts can be swift revealing steps. Your life a changeful mold for growing God. So yes, the divine is shaping out of the clay that he has brought out. So that clay has to be first turned into this material which we call as hard matter. Because there has to be a something which is enduring. Otherwise it will just merge immediately. So that's the whole idea. So slowly it is being shaped into that process, where it will manifest or express the divine. Now what happens is, in the process, there are many ifs and buts, and that's where we come to the pralaya and the chaturyug. So up till a point, it gets molded. And then, because with human beings coming, that's where the whole problem comes, that human beings are given a certain degree of free will. Why? Because you must now enjoy the process. You are no more completely unconscious clay. See, we also have a clay. We are not totally unconscious clay. So we can't say like animals, whatever happens to us happens. No. So why this is this apparent free will? We can talk about that later, what is apparent and real. But we have the sense of free will, and therefore we can say we have a certain degree of free will. It cannot be absolute because supermind is sitting behind. Try going out of the way, it'll push you back. So now this apparent freedom is given so that one is the joy of the play. You are playing a role, knowingly you are playing a role. But more importantly, with conscious collaboration, the work will be much faster. Supposing the divine is, you know, imagine mother is making a nice meal for the child and child keeps saying, Mama, what are you putting? Why, child? Husbands, don't do this. You know, I think if you put a salt little more, can you put this masala? She'll say, you make it. And you had it. Don't try this. But we keep on doing that. So with our, because we have a certain degree of freedom, if we keep interfering, So what happens? The dish, and this is given to hasten the process. But unfortunately, or for whatever way, that man begins to interfere. Oh, you will make supramental world, I'll make it AI. I have made Kamdhenu, wish fulfilling tree. Yes, but this Kamdhenu will make us stupid. Unless we upgrade our human intelligence into DI. Some it will push to turn towards SI and DI. Then AI is good tool. Otherwise, it will create a crisis of evolution. If everything ChatGPT will answer, your mind will stop progressing. See, this is the problem. So there is a relative degree of freedom given here. So man invariably beyond a point is unable to handle this. What? Freedom. So beyond a point, when it has reached a point where it has entered a critical juncture, that's when many things have to collapse. Now this is how nature works, because the charge was given to nature and nature knows. So what nature does? It creates through the freedom. It molds, molds, molds. Divine is always there, standing from behind, pushing through the veil of yoga maya. So nature creates a mold, then it's saying, I'm enjoying this. So she is also not letting go. Huh? Mama's two kinds of mother. One, how nice if my child can stay in my village. Another mother who says, ja beta, jile apni zindagi. Both types are there. So there is this point which comes when nature is enjoying and takes a long time. And a point comes when things, because of the freedom, the whole plan begins to get distorted. That's the idea of evolution in Shurbindo's yoga, that there is illusion, but this illusion is a distortion of the original will. So what does he do? Nature says, oh, it's not according to the ultimate plan. It has come so far and no far. Okay, okay. Like plasticine, mother gives the example. I'm going to break it. I'll make another. Because for nature, there is no death. It's energy. Nature is energy. That's how scientists understand. It's okay, okay, okay. I'm going to destroy this. I'll bring in new. Of course, everything can never be destroyed. It's like, you know, you make a bill, you make a bridge, or you make a aircraft. Now, supposing after some time you discover that defect, so the bridge collapses. Is everything destroyed? No, only the bridge form is destroyed. The learning goes, the knowledge remains, and that knowledge comes up with a better bridge. So, even when you see the cyclic movement, there is a forward movement. It's not going back into circles. And I take this example of a wave. So, in a wave, you see the wave rising and a wave collapsing and again rising. Now what's happening? There is the rise and the fall, but which way the wave is moving? There is no second way. Yes, it's expanding and moving forward. So through life and death and rebirth, through the rise of empires and the fall of empires, through the rise of civilizations and their collapse, through the rise of a whole creation which vanishes, all does not end. There is a forward movement. And that's how Shurbindo explains why suddenly in this era we are discovering or so-called inventing many things which once existed. Was the world of Rama and Krishna perfect? No, that we have to understand. Certainly not perfect as Shurbindo would want. Otherwise it would not have vanished. In Satyug, I'm not coming to yogas and what they represent, what is really. Satyug is a divine anarchy. When each one is, there is no external rule required. You are conscious of the divine self within and you act according to that. Now in Satyug, who comes? Parshuram. Who is the king is Satyavrat. I mean, thank you. And look at the irony. He says, you know, God has come to me, Lord Vishnu, and he has said, you know, there will be great flood and, you know, we got to travel. Nobody believes him. They think he's mad. Read the story of the Satyug. The Matsavatar comes. Lord Rama's time, what did he come? He came to humanize the Vanara world, to bring in the illumined mind, the sattvic mind, the rational mind. Look at people. We talk about Ram Raj. Yes, Ram Raj is a state which we have to preserve. And what is Ram Raj? It's not something which was established. It's an ideal to be pursued. That's why it is said, what is the ideal, you know, when will we say there is Ram Raj? It says, Daihika, Daivika, Bhautika, Tapa, Ram Raj Kahu Nahi Vyapa. Nobody falls ill. That's the story behind Sambhukvad. So the king takes the responsibility and, you know, because he does on himself. So these are ideals which have been preserved in that age of Rama. They went to a point and then they could not go beyond a point. Same with Sri Krishna. Why he has to drown Dwarka? Why he has to finish his own vanshaj? So this story is because up to a point nature progresses, then it comes back. But this coming back is not the vain cycle. It is to prepare for a greater leap. And one last simple example I'll say, which you can see in practical world. When did Olympics start first time? Whenever, anyways, I don't remember either. Now you see the record of the first Olympics, second Olympics. Today, you see how humanity is progressing. So there will be a relapse, but each relapse is to go forward with a leap. So that's how the cyclic time works. So we have both, and in practical life, in individual life also, the same event, the same difficulty, the same failure repeats itself, but every time with a little more modification, so that you can move one step. Sometimes you move only 1 inch forward. Like we know how Vibhishan turned vegetarian, the same way. Okay, this is, I'm throwing a question if somebody wants to ask, how did Vibhishan, because he's a Rakshas, no? He was a non-vegetarian. So how he turned vegetarian? He comes to Ayodhya and slowly he is enjoying, but no vegetarian outlet, no vegetarian restaurant. He has suddenly come to Aurobindo Dhamma. So he quietly escapes, kills a rabbit and eats it. Then slowly, slowly, every time he eats a rabbit, he pukes. Then finally he pukes. Then he says, I don't have the vritti now to eat rabbit. Why am I doing all this? Still he eats by habit. Finally he gives it up. That is how change comes. So the outer nature is the last to change. But this is the process. That's why there is cyclic. Both. But cycle is not vain cycle. Cycle is there, but it's not going back to the same spot. It is a spiral ascent. That is how Sri Aurobindo puts it, that the coming Satyug will be higher than the Satyug of old. That's the saving grace. And Sri Aurobindo said this, mother spoke of this, Sri Ramakrishna spoke of this. He says, in the age that is going to come, there will be rishis and those who will come, who will be ahead, they will go further than the past. They will be creators beyond our imagination. So that's what is going to happen. So we should treat all our children as potential rishis unless proved otherwise. Okay. Any other question? Yeah. Please sit. I think I can hear. Yes. Yes.
There is a lot of talk in the scientist community that artificial intelligence and robotics together is going to bring the age of abundance. Because AI will design robots, robot will make other robots, the cost of things will go down, everybody will get things in plenty, whatever they need. People don't have to work and everything will be in abundance, there will be infinite will be created and all that. When I think about it, it looks like some part of it at least. Because mother is saying that abundance is a power of Shakti that needs to manifest and she calls for it in her prayers. Is it really divine pushing through humanity to create artificial intelligence? The second part of the question is, if that happens, then there are two possibilities. One is, bulk of humanity, like you said, will become dumb and useless and become like animals, they will be controlled by AI. But that will force some of the humanity to exceed the human state and accelerate the journey to...
Right. Wonderful. So first of all, anything which has manifested, though there are things which are creations of Asura, like for example, mother spoke about the two kinds of bombs, energy. We have fission and fusion. So though the atom bomb was, that knowledge was given to man prematurely, Sri Aurobindo admits that because of the exigency of time. But she says that, well, the energy that comes through fission is an asuric energy. So you'll read about Ramayana that there are asuras, they have their own weapons. So their weapons are both psychological and physical. Basically, they divide. So if you want to destroy a community, so you don't have to bring in an external enemy. You have to divide the community. Batenge to katenge. Okay, so that's what it means. So it's so true. It's true actually. If you and by some means it will divide the community. So even it comes in Ramayana war that the monkeys start fighting against each other because they start, you know, feeling who is greater. So many ways to divide a community. So they bring division and they bring you know, the sense of, but also at their weapon level they create division. So what is the division? They'll create confusion. You feel, oh, what is divine work? Psychologically, oh, there is no divine. They will throw doubt. They will throw all kinds of darkness, despair. So that's their power. So they are fed by darkness. So even in the enemy ranks, even there are weapons which completely confuse. Even we used it recently. But we use it in a divine way. So what happened during the recent latest, Operation Sindoor? A decoy was sent. So the decoy confused. They thought, oh, this has come. What is? Rafael has come. It was a decoy. So you see, these are all powers through which you can organize things. So there is the energy which is used. Even Asuric weapons were there with the devas and the, celestial beings. And there is the energy of fusion, which can also be used for destruction. Far more powerful. The hydrogen bomb. So that's a devic energy. So similarly, but ultimately if it has come into existence, it has come into existence. Divine has accepted it for whatever reason, good or bad, he has accepted it. So AI has come now. So now to discuss why it has come, from where it has come, is a foregone conclusion. It is there. So whenever a new thing comes in the market or in the world, first thing is that it human vital uses it. It's like a new toy. You want to play with it. So first thing will be this. And the Asura, they start using it very smartly. So what do the Asura do? They are using to thought control. Everybody knows now, people say, oh, you click on some particular subject and you will get the same, this is a basic knowledge, everybody knows. You will get the same feed from the YouTube because it has read your mind. Everything is being, people have done studies. If you enter a store, which way you will turn? So the expensive things will be on that side. So all this is the plaything Asuras will use. Then after some time, you will see that this energy will be taken up. Power will be taken up by the Deva. So in itself you can say it's neither good nor bad, like money. But initially it will be used by the Asuric forces. It is being used by Asuric forces. And definitely there is a whole side of humanity which will collapse. Without a doubt, to close one's eyes to it is like playing the ostrich. Because what it is doing now, it is substituting the human intelligence. So human intelligence is not being given sufficient exercise. And as a result, even Sri Aurobindo's works, people often say, so I say, see, when you read Sri Aurobindo's works, try to understand, you grow. If ChatGPT answers you, then what has happened? You have an answer. Sri Aurobindo uses the word a machine that is perfect and automatic and false. So you're not challenged to grow. So that is the flip side. But eventually, because evolution is going to go on, and it has happened with every scientific invention has been, as they say, technological, it pushes you into comfort zone and it becomes a biological or psychological amputation. So see how it works. One example we can take. The wheel was one of the discoveries which changed the future of time. If you look at it, that was the first discovery. From there, all this started. You have speedometers, flying cars, all now aeroplanes, all this has come. Now you see how it changed. It made people lazy. So you don't walk. Now how did nature bounce back? How did human beings bounce back? We go in car to a park and we take a walk. Nature has her ways. Hasn't it done? There was a generation which, died of, so sadly, like even recently, 39-year-old heart surgeon dies of a massive heart attack. And all the machinery is there. The people try, but unfortunately, you know, he couldn't be survived. So it teaches, it has a way of teaching. Sometimes it can be very harsh lesson. So after some time, there will be an equilibrium. Why? Because God Vishnu is also sleeping on his couch, conducting the world. He's the great preserver. He has to harmonize. That's his job description. And he does it happily. Because Brahmaji is bringing things into existence. Somebody has to, you know, put them in place. Rit, chit of the Vedas. So it has to be put in its right place, right use. So now people are talking about walking culture. In Netherlands, you have, you know, walking pavements where people can only walk. And, you know, you will have those pavements have, of course, come up. And you have other, you know, sometimes you are fined if you take a cycle there. Are bhai. In India, we always had that. You took away from this capacity to walk. As a child, that's what we have done. Whether from the village. But now, we can't go back to that. Now to say that, okay, we will abandon all these things, pull water in a bucket. No, it won't work. So now nature will find a new way. Now what is the way nature has found? Okay, now we will do conscious exercises. See how evolution goes. Unconsciously, we were walking. And it was keeping us healthy. Now the same thing we do, but we say, how many steps? So nature will find the way. So right now AI is a bane, without a doubt, and its danger cannot be overemphasized. In the field of medicine, for example, recently somebody died who consulted AI for sore throat. Now AI told medicine, take Augmentin or whatever. Basically, sore throat can be in, of course, commonest is pharyngitis. You take antibiotic, even commonest is viral. But sore throat can also be because of acute leukemia, blood cancer. And the man took it and he couldn't handle, then he died ultimately. Because AI is AI, after all. That human intelligence operates in unconventional ways. Machine is an algorithm. You make any algorithm, but human intelligence has the capacity to go into a tangent, as they call lateral thinking. That's why it is so easy to beat a computer in chess. So that's how, you know, one of my favorite games, chess. So when computers started showing, you know, play, new thing. Okay, let's play. So the beauty is you can beat it very badly because computer has been fed with all the moves except that if you make a stupid move. Now it's computer has not been fed that your opponent will make a consciously stupid move. I played that. So, okay, let me try making a very stupid move. Now it's confused. It doesn't know. So it is trying to, you know. And you can beat it simply by doing something. Now this is human mind evolves. Okay, you have to beat a perfect machine. Do this all the time in war. This happens. What happened in Kargil war? Same thing. We climbed from a side which was impossible. I mean, LOC movie is made on that. Steep upward climb, 15 degree incline. They never thought, oh, khajur kha rahe the. Ye idhar se ja rahe the. So human intelligence will ultimately evolve through this also and discover even better ways. Because human intelligence is living, real, organic, as they say, and within it the divine is governing. Machine, for all its merits, will always be fixed within certain boundaries. Boundaries of who will feed what, the danger is there, as we know. If you type on, I don't know, now they have corrected, I think, but when it had come, ChatGPT, if you type Rama, you see what it will come up with, all kinds of nonsensical things. You type Muhammad, he'll say, no, we don't want to talk about religion, it's controversial. End of the story. Because whoever is putting it. But now human beings have come up with the same game. So there is hope. Yes, in the process we will see a lot of... I have used the word for this evolutionary process, this generation, one or two or three generations. May not be three, but this is my own intuitive sense that one or two generations will be a washout generation. Where most of the people will just be like, you know, because everything is provided. You see a lot of people in India, you will see now with the new money that has come in, as you were saying, abundance. The same applies here. We belong to a generation, many of us, where parents didn't have so much money. So we knew the value of labor. So these things got inculcated. Now there is quick money. So children go on a holiday and they are just busy taking selfies and they start, you know, you don't know who is my father. Yeah, then you have to tell him that, well, who are you? Forget about your father. We'll tackle that later. Who are you? You are a nobody. You want to remain your papa's son. So now, you know, this is where this generation in India particularly, there is a lot of people, partly because of the money and newfound money tools, because this is something new to them. India has unfortunately labored for long under ascetic impulse. So there will be a recrudescence of many things. And Shobindo describes that a tendency, there is a surge in the tendencies before they pass out of evolution. Recrudescence, that is the word he has used. So all the tendencies which have to go out of evolution, you will see them suddenly surging up. For example, the sexual impulse. Now there is freedom, now there is pornography, now there is everything. But simultaneously, what is happening? The fertility rate is going down, sexual impotence is increased. I'm talking of sheer facts. Because you can't beat the divine. He has a master plan ready for all exigencies. So these tendencies will come up and they will come and people will say, kya ho gaya is generation ko? Huh? Yes, washout generation. But then as this same generation comes, you will see them coming in a new world where the new balance, that's what Lord Vishnu does. Balance is readjust the balance, and that's how it will happen with AI. So right now, danger. And that's why all of us have to make our children more conscious. That look, like for example, in the schools, ChatGPT should not be used. Very simply, I mean, it should be told to children that, well, don't write, don't give essays to write. Do whatever you have to do at home, in the class. Why the concept of homework should be there? Home should be read something general and come back and tell us what you have read. That should be the concept. This idea of giving homework. So what do? They do use ChatGPT. In school you can say no. How are you going to monitor? Parents also. Oh, mera beta sabse bada uska. People will say, oh, this is so wonderful. Everybody is writing the same thing. ChatGPT. So these are innovations in school, for example, we have to bring up. No ChatGPT. In fact, no homework. Home is not bent for carrying. See, this is how they learn that office should be carried to home. No. Home is for something else. Interact with the parents. Talk to them that, you know, your child has to grow integrally. Make sure he goes for play 1 hour. He takes interest in general things. Take the test of the parents. How do you think your child has it? Is he developing on the axis of generosity, sympathy, understanding? I think Vaishali ji was saying something, the Auramira school, some such things we had started that time, that on things which courage. Now these are the things, home is the place for that. You can't do it in school because very difficult. And Gurukul meant that basically. Gurukul, it is the Guru Graha Vas. So it's not just what is happening in the classroom, but also what is happening outside the classroom. So this is our responsibility, all of us as educators. All of us are learners and educators, let me put it like that. So that we bring these ideas to the new generation. But if we carry on with the old standard method, homework, tests, it should all go away, because frankly now tests are outdated. You go to a test, it depends a lot on that day. Hasn't it happened to many of us that on that day we bungled up? Even though we knew everything, and then you come back, oh, I made a silly mistake. So a lot of change we have to bring in because of these new challenges, and they will push humanity toward that change. That's how I look at it. Yes, please.
In this topic, actually, what is your thought also? So you were talking about the AI and the
not able to do that, but now if you look at the age of consciousness, you know that the Superman
Yes, so AI is like the shortcut. It cannot get that answer. And it's like any home, why do we don't like, we say na, use the word short circuit ho gaya. Because there is no evolution in that. It's not about getting the correct answer. It's about the process through which you have got the right answer. That helps us evolve. It's like same thing. Somebody takes me in a helicopter or a flight and transports me to 10,000 feet high mountain. I can't enjoy it. Probably I'll have asphyxia. So AI will provide the right answer, maybe more correct answer. But AI is not helping me to learn the process through which I arrive. When I learn the process, then I evolve in the process. Then it's no more confined to that answer which I answered, but it will be it can be applied anywhere. For example, if you observe how plants grow, that's the story of Satyakam Jabali. How did the guru teach him? He said, you go and take 100 cows, make them 400 fat cows and bring them. Beautiful story. And he learns everything in the process. So when you engage, let us say a person engaged in farming, he will understand the yoga of transformation like this. People often say, how come many of these people, in Odisha we know so many people who have not studied so much, who have not read these books, they can't even, many of them can't read and write English properly. But how come they are able to get this? Very simply, because they are connected with life. So they have learned many things very naturally, organically. They are learning. That's the story of that professor who actually told me. Manozda told me actually. I can take the name. He said in a seminar, you know, we were all there and he was sharing this story. So he says that everybody was talking on transformation, debate, discussion. Will it be? Will it? Won't it? All this. So after the whole thing was over, he said that watchman told him in Odia, what is it they are discussing so much? He said, but what is there to doubt about it? He said, what is there to doubt about? What is the meaning? He's not saying that because Shurbindo has said you have to have belief. He said, no. He said, every day I cycle from my home to this place because I have to open the door of the auditorium. He's the last man because he has to close the door. Every day I see that in that mud, I see that lotus blooms in season when the season comes. He says, transformation is inevitable. He had drawn that conclusion. Caterpillar and the butterfly. So there is the teaching should be connected with life. See, problem with AI and in fact computers and all this is, teach, they have their role, by the way. But it has got disconnected from life. For example, supermind, since you mentioned. So somebody was explaining one day, you know, they explain with nice charts. Mind, then there is another mind, then third mind, fourth mind, illumined mind, as I said, over mind, intuitive mind, over mind, super mind. Then he said, super mind is there. I said, well, super mind is also below in matter. Now you see, there is a problem. How does a two-dimensional chart represent? Super mind is also in the heart. Shri Krishna hints at it. When he says that everything ultimately is governed by me, how does he do it? He doesn't give his operating system. Shurbindo has named it the operating system is supermind. Ultimately, everybody will do that will. How? Because the supermind is buried. So through the heart, mother says, through the psychic door, you can glimpse the supermind. But if you go through the mind, it's a long journey. Now that the supermind has descended, as you said, and is operating, now things can work both ways. I mean, they will work. We know that evolution is going to be. But we must understand at one place, Sri Aurobindo says, if you lift the mace of Bhima and you are not strong, see, that's why the Dhanush Yagya is so beautiful, that you have to string the Shiva's bow. So what is the problem in that? You cannot lift it only with Bahubal. Pinak. You have to use the Atmabal. So it is inbuilt. And everybody is saying why you have done this, why you have done it. He knows it. So same thing with supermind. Any amount of reading, any amount of talking, any amount of seminars, webinars, any amount of things. We may write 100 books on the supermind, yet it will escape us. Unless we are ready. Because if its touch comes, if the person is still living in the realm of the ego, mother says, my child, you will collapse. You will vaporize. There is a line in Savitri that he bore the touch of that which slays and saves. It will slay the ego and save us. Lightning. So there is a readiness which is required. We must read some lines from Savitri, no, time to time. So so there is this na maza nahi aata na fir lagta hai kuch chhut gaya. See the example of Savitri, how she is preparing herself. She is confronted with the destiny. It's not just her destiny, the enigma of earth. See the difference. Buddha saw death, disease and old age, and he took it, this cannot change, but the suffering because of that can change. So he goes into the forest and comes back and says, well, regard all this as impermanent. Then you won't suffer. If you know everything is temporary, transient, you won't suffer. Mother also sees there is death, disease and old age. She says, this too can change and must change. See the difference. But obviously the power that has to change it, that's why mother said it's not a crucified body but a glorified body that can change the world. You cannot change the world by simply saying, you know, be peaceful, be nice, goody goody guy, we'll give you 10 out of 10 like people were talking to, you know, India sometime back. Gandhiji ka bhumi hai, Gandhiji ka bhumi hai, shastra mat uthao, aap kaise sab kar rahe ho. Till somebody said Ramakrishna ki bhi bhumi hai. Gandhiji bahut baad mein aaye. ये राम और कृष्ण की भूमि है. गांधी जी कहां से बीच में आ गए. आई मीन बेसिकली यू नो दैट वेल यू हैव टू गेट दैट थिंग टू हैंडल. सो दिस इज द सॉल्यूशन मदर एंड श्योरबिंद ब्रिंग. व्हाई दे कैन नॉट चेंज. दे चैलेंज दिस प्रमाइस बिकॉज एट सी द आधार. नित्यो नित्यानाम चेतना से चेतना नाम एको बहु नाम यो विदधाति कामान. इन एवरी ट्रांसियंट देर इज द इटर्नल हु इज ड्वेलिंग. दैट इज द लॉजिक. So it should be able to at least express the eternal in some way or the other. So now we have page 17. See the virras in Savitri and see the examples she has set for us. In the morning this had left incomplete. I was saying we set examples in the life of Rama and Krishna. Life of Buddha is an example. Now look at what examples Sri Aurobindo is placing before mankind. When we are challenged by life, and why problems come. Page 17. The armed immortal bore the snare of time. This is the avatar. He accepts the challenge that every human being accepts, has to go through. One dealt with her who meets the burdened great. The more difficulties, the more the divine is chiseling us into greatness. Burdened great. Look at the thing. राम कांड से ओ मेरा भाग्य क्या हो गया, राक्षस ले गया, चलो यही ध्यान करते हैं, वाइफ चली गई कोई बात नहीं, लेट मी टेक टू संन्यास, सब ने तो यही बोला है, आई कांट लिफ्ट वेपन्स बिकॉज नॉन वायलेंस इज द अल्टीमेट, अहिंसा परम धर्म. रामा डजंट सी दैट. नो, ही इज नॉट मेकिंग ए शो ऑफ रिनंसिएशन. ही इज ए रिनंसिएट पार एक्सीलेंस. ही डजंट नीड टू प्रूव टू द वर्ल्ड आई एम ए रिनंसिएट. He has to live by the dharma. It's not about his wife. It's about the fate of womankind in Aryavarta. It's not about what people will tell him. He raises the bow. So, how does burdened great? So, this is the challenge of life, destiny, assigner of the ordeal and the path, who chooses in this holocaust of the soul, death, fall and sorrow as the spirit's goads. The dubious Godhead with his torch of pain lit up the chasm of the unfinished world and called her to fill with her vast self the abyss. The more she is trying to fill the abyss, the more it is gaping. And each one is saying, me too, me too. Mother, I am also there. And she is saying, I am coming. The grace can change all. And then few lines below. Look at this wonderful. For this See, I mean, sometimes I feel, where has India fallen? It's my anguish I am expressing. Janam karam ka fera se mukti palo. What a weakness, impotence. Want to get freed from the cycle of birth and death? That's not mukti. Look here, what Sri Aurobindo is saying. Assailing her divinest elements, he made her heart kin to the striving human heart and forced her strength to its appointed road. For this, she has had accepted mortal breath. She chooses. She is free. Born free. See the difference, the greatness of the great. Chooses the mortal breath. Is that a great ideal, or this that, oh, life is so troubling, sorrowful. Let's find, ye dunya mere babul ka ghar. No, sorry. Wo dunya mere babul ka ghar, ye dunya sasural. Arre, sasural ko banao na babul ke ghar jaisa. Bhaag kyun rahe ho? See, this is the, to wrestle with the shadow she had come and must confront the riddle of man's birth and life's brief struggle in dumb matters night, whether to bear with ignorance and death. That's the average man. He says, kya karenge? Bhagya hai. Mera hi karm hoga kabhi. To wrestle with ignorance, whether to bear with ignorance and death, or you the ways of immortality, to win or lose the godlike game for man, was her soul's issue thrown with destiny's dice. She is the divine mother. And if you read the life of the divine mother, what she has not borne. Sri Aurobindo even says 10 times more than even me. She did not cry and complain. That also he describes. That she spoke of her woe to none. Look at, she knows that Satyavan is going to die in 1 year. She doesn't tell her in-laws till the last day. She does everything. Even that day she is saying, Mama, Papa, can I just go out? I have not gone and seen the forest. Sri Aurobindo describes all this. So they say, of course, yes. You are the star of our... With you, we know that, you know, Satyavan is safe. She doesn't tell them that this is the day when Satyavan must die. This is the strength of India. We have not been afraid of death. We are not afraid of life. And that's what Sri Aurobindo sets an example. But not to submit and suffer was she born. To lead, to deliver was her glorious part. Here was no fabric of terrestrial make, fit for a day's use by busy, careless powers. Thodi khushi, thoda gham, bas. Not for this. To lead, to deal. Even if you fall, fall mightily. Sri Aurobindo's Baji Prabhu. See how he takes the battle and dies. And Tanaji says, you are going to die, I'll build a pyre for you. He says, what? You think I am this 5'2" man, you will build a fire for me? We will meet there when you also come like this. We will shake hands, embrace and say, so, how did you come? What sacrifice you made? This was the ancient Aryan culture. An image fluttering on the screen of fate. This is what we are, average person. Half animated for a passing show or a castaway on the ocean of desire. Chasing desire, one day we are castaway. Flung to the eddies in a ruthless sport and tossed along the gulfs of circumstance, a creature born to bend beneath the yoke. This is the average humanity. But as mother's children, this is not what we are here for. A chattel and plaything of time's lords, or one more move forward on a measureless board in the chess play of the earth's soul with doom. Such is the human figure drawn by time. But what does Savitri do? And that's what we have to do with regard to supermind. It's not enough just that, yes, supermind is calm and things will change and I read a book and give a talk and write another 5 books. Not about that. How do I prepare myself for this tremendous power which is operating in the earth? So here comes, in her own self, she found her high recourse. Page 19. She matched with the iron law her sovereign right. Her single will opposed the cosmic rule. This is the ancient Aryan culture. Even if the world stood against you, if you knew this is true and right, you would stand. That's what Shurbinda says. Even if the army of the world is against you and you have with you none else but Krishna unarmed, still choose Krishna. See, these are the stories that have nourished this land one time before the philosophies came. And then we became like a weakling, all in the mind, God is one or many, and you know, Advaita or Dvaita or Dvaita Dvaita or Visishta Dvaita. But when it comes to really facing the challenge of life, that's where Advaita blooms. To stay the wheels of doom, this greatness rose. These are the stories of the Sati who changed the motion of the sun by the power of truth and love. At the unseen's knock upon her hidden gates, her strength made greater by the lightning's touch, awake from slumber in her heart's recess. It bore the stroke of that which kills and saves. So often people ask, sometimes they ask me, how many Hindus are there? I said, very few. Equally, Muslims, none. अरे नाम आप मोहम्मद अब्दुल्ला रखोगे तो क्या आप मुसलमान बन गए? क्या आप अपना नाम हरि और कृष्णा रख लोगे तो हिंदू बन जाओगे? This is what is the ancient Aryan land. Look at it, that even with destiny she is fighting. Across the awful march no eye can see, bearing its dreadful route no will can change, she faced the engines of the universe. Even if we fail, still we must fight, because this will increase the means within us. A heart stood in the way of the driving wheels. So this will is so important. By the way, in the school there is no education of will. All mind, 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 mind. Will is so weak. Nobody even bothers about it. So what happens? We have read all the wonderful things. We have all the knowledge of the engineering designs and the medical thing. But because of our weak will, when a patient comes, the doctor is eyeing his pocket. He becomes a dignified pickpocketer. Sorry for all the doctors, but I am a doctor, I can make fun. I am allowed. Why? Because his will is weak. He wants to make money. So what? He may know the latest discoveries. Is that what we want children to become? So here comes the will. A heart stood in the way of the driving wheels. Even if the world is against, still one does it. Its dark conventions met the flame of a soul. What does it mean? Even if the world says supramental manifestation cannot be, you say, but this is what I aspire for. Let it take 1,000 years, 10,000 years, this is the aspiration given to me. I have to be true and faithful to it. Let the world say it cannot be, doesn't matter. This madness, I mean, it is a madness. Shubhendra, the mother, speak about it. You cannot, you know, what does mystics have said this, no? Ye to ghar hai prem ka, khala ka ghar nahi. Sheesh kataye bhui dare, tab baithe ghar mai. This is the house of love. You want to enter there with your identity card? That's why in the ashram, before you enter, your identity card is snatched away. You go at 7 o'clock, ashram opens at 8 o'clock for the general visitor. You have come from very far. And he says, sir, we have just want to go inside. I am so and so. No, no. Card. So people think bio card. No. Card means ashram guest house card. You try telling, sir, I am from so and so. No, 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 no. Come at 8 o'clock. Not that it's a good way to do things. But I'm just saying that all these false identities we carry, there's only one true identity, Mavaya Vansh. She faced the engines of the universe. So how do we do this? Flame of the soul. First is will. Will should be such that whatever happens, that's what we see in Savitri when she is told that, well, you know, Satyavan is going to die, you change your mind, go back, you know, there are plenty of suitors waiting for you. She says, once my heart has chosen, it chooses not again. If this one year is all my life. And they are very powerful words. So this is the will that we have to teach, how to take the challenge. And then the second, ChatGPT is robbing us of that, no? You can't do a homework, doesn't matter, you try. So that's what it is. Then second, she is saying flame of the soul. This must burn, Agni. Aspiration, it's an inner process, nobody can see it. It doesn't matter. It's not meant to be publicized. I can't, you know, not to put, I am Agni Veer Swami. No. Carry the fire within, those who are ready will get contaminated. That's it. A magic leverage suddenly is caught that moves the veiled, ineffable's timeless will. How can we contact that tremendous power? Will, faith, aspiration. And then there is a leverage. Magic will. What is that magic leverage? A prayer. What does prayer imply? Humility. People have forgotten to pray. Some feel praying is an inferior, sign of inferiority. Oh, he goes and prays to God. Isn't it? Sometimes you will hear. What? Outdated? You are still praying to God. One of my patients once came to our home and looking at Mother Aurobindo's picture, oh, I thought he is, what did he say? He is modern, but what is this? You know, if they see photographs, nowadays, some group of students came to my room. They saw everywhere Mother and Aurobindo's photograph. Sir, why have you put them? You know, postmodern thought. So I said, you have a problem? I said, I have a right to do what I want to do. You have to be tolerant. So, you know, you have to give back in the same language. Humility will help us progress. Humility makes us aware that there is so much wonders greater than this little creature. Those who don't have humility, they feel I am someone or something. That means you are stuck. So when somebody says I am someone or something, I said finished. Don't be a finished product. If you are a finished product, you are only good for the museum. But when you know that you have imperfections to conquer, you have difficulties, challenges, you have problems which you need to tackle, it's so, life becomes so engaging. So a prayer, Ma, this is what I have, a prayer, a master act. Master act ka to udharan hamare paas mein baithe hue hain. Teen udharan hai, beech mein Aryamani ji. Master act isko bolte hain. Kaha jungle mein mangal, absolutely. Master act, you know, with all the money, kya karna hai, jungle mein create kar. Another master act, how he turned towards Mother and Aurobindo and then gave his 100%, I must say. This is something another amazing. I have felt so inspired with this story. This is called sincerity. Ek bar maa ke ho gaye, to maa ke ho gaye. Master act is that. That ab ho gaya. Purane pyar apni jagah. Ab to lagan lag gayi. Inke saath. That's called master act. Surrender is very difficult. It's the greatest of master act is surrender. It requires great courage to surrender. It means now I will obey your will, not mine. Human individuality will not allow. People say, ah, Aurobindo has said this, but you know, I think that was then valid. So I'll tell them sometime, bas karo. Aur kuch nahi, Aurobindo ka outer life hi dekh lo, tumko vinamrata aa jayegi. Forget about other things. So master act, see, a prayer is humility, master act is surrender. A king idea. Jeena hai to iske liye jeena hai. There is a line in one of the movies. Apne liye bhi jeena, koi jeena hai? Aage wo jo word bolta hai, nahi bolunga. Apne liye jeena bhi koi jeena hai? He lived, he got a big degree, studied there, earned a lot of money, made a lot of deposits, his children are also abroad. He has a life history. Imagine. सभी करते हैं ये किंग आइडिया टू लिव टू सर्व द डिवाइन किंग आइडिया किसकी चाकरी कर रहे हो आर यू गवर्नमेंट सर्वेंट बोलते हैं ना कुछ लोग नहीं हम गवर्नमेंट आई वॉन्ट बी सर्वेंट हम तो भाई सर्वेंट नहीं स्लेव हैं जगत जननी माँ के स्लेव हैं इट्स ए किंग लुक एट द ब्यूटी किंग आइडिया हनुमान से कोई पूछे व्हाट सो स्पेशल अबाउट यू विल से नथिंग All is my Lord in whose seva I am living. Humility is the prayer brings humility. Master act, surrender. King idea is living for the service of the divine. I mean, we can interpret it in different ways, but I am just now, I am going with my right now intuition, inspiration. Can link man's strength to a transcendent force. It connects us to the divine. And really, abhiman ke saath, pride ke saath, we cannot go toward the divine. Even mystics have said so. See, what does Guru Nanak say? Sadho man ka maan tyago, kaam krodh sangati durjan ki taase ahanish bhago. Astuti ninda dau tyagi, khoje tab nirvana. Kaha Nanak ye khel kathin hai, kahu gurmukh jana. You cannot, by if you think I am something, someone, I can think I am rational idiot or whatever. You stay with that. Divine will not do anything. He will not punish you. Nothing. You stay. You fine. It doesn't make a difference to that vastness. But when we link ourselves to the transcendent, what is the limit? There are no limits. That's the beauty of Hanuman's story. Abhi bhi main watch karta hoon. Yahan bhi aapka Wi-Fi se maine dekh liya. Mera serial, Veer Hanuman. इसको मिस नहीं करना इट्स समथिंग सो इंस्पायरिंग आई एम यू नो यू लिव फॉर द लॉर्ड इट्स समथिंग सो ब्यूटिफुल एवरी टाइम यू रीड देयर इज नो अदर आइडेंटिटी ऑफ हिम ही इज जस्ट नथिंग एल्स बट लिविंग फॉर द लॉर्ड इन द सर्विस ऑफ द लॉर्ड देन यू आर लिंक्ड एंड वेन यू आर लिंक्ड विद द डिवाइन वॉट इज द लिमिट नथिंग कैन कंटेन यू वॉट द लॉर्ड विल्स यू आर गोइंग ऑन हिज एरेंड वॉट फोर्स कैन कम एनी फोर्स कम से I am a servant of the Lord. That's it. Even the ocean will give way. So that's what it is. See, look at the beauty of the servant of the Lord. Lord Rama has to plead. Lakshman ji has to take the bow and arrow. He says, Bhai vin hot na preet. What did Hanuman do? Jai Shri Ram. That's it. Shobindu says in Synthesis of Yoga, he says that nothing is denied to the God lover because he is the self of the beloved. And at one place, one of his aphorisms, he says, God's servant is something, God's slave is greater. And in Savitri, we have a line when he talks about the new creation. When the Supreme is addressing Savitri, what does he say? He says that built is the... Oh, beautiful slave of God. And then he says that it has been granted whatever you asked. Beautiful slave of God. When mother was reading this line, she strangely read powerful instead of beautiful. And then she says, I saw the word powerful. So she is wondering because people told her, people are great. Arey, what mother has read is ultimate. But there are people, mother, actually, you know, it's beautiful which is written here. She says, but I read powerful. So she asks Aurobindo. Means in the inner thing. She says, yes, that's for the future. Powerful slave of God. And then of course everything is then. The Supreme tells, because you have obeyed my timeless will. And turned away from the nameless calm. Because you have denied. No, I don't want liberation. I don't want mukti. I don't want any of these things. I want to fulfill your will upon earth. He says, therefore, I lay my yoke upon you. Look at this. Yoke, yoga. Normally, man aspires for yoga with the divine. Here the divine is saying, I am doing yoga, yoke. I am binding you to myself forever. What more can one want? So this is where Then miracle is made the common rule. One mighty deed can change the course of things. A lonely thought becomes omnipotent. So if you want to connect to the supermind, this is the way. It is not through the intellectual discussions and debates and discussions. They have their place in preparation. But it is when the mind opens wide, meaning thereby what Sri Aurobindo is saying is truth. You see, when somebody asked V.K. Gokak, professor, he was from Karnataka, no? I am not mistaken. Professor of English, Vice Chancellor of the university. So he asked that, you know, he was English, so I mean Prakand Pandit, so he was asked that is Sri Aurobindo's English correct? His reply, it is not English that Sri Aurobindo speaks. What Sri Aurobindo speaks is English. Period. It is not English that Sri Aurobindo. What Sri Aurobindo speaks is English. Once there is a little story which Sri Aurobindo recounts. See, sometimes spirituality can take those, you know, when Angad goes in the Sabha or Ravan and puts his feet. He says, forget about Ram, pehle mera paav dalo, phir dekhenge. Ram ka naam leke wo paav dal deta. Angad ka paav has become now history. So somebody was discussing, but Shastro mein ye likha hai, you know, that's how the old tradition say, and you say, and this say. Sri Aurobindo is a gentleman, perfect. But at one place he says, you know what, when he's not saying directly about himself, but he's saying, he says, you know what, as to traditions, you know, once somebody told Swami Vivekananda. And this is a true story. Obviously, Sri Aurobindo is saying, but I have read it independently. And he said, but Shankaracharya does not say so. Swami Vivekananda's reply, he says, is illustrative. He says, yes, but I, Vivekananda, says so. He says, I have my own experiences. I have my own realizations. You are on a ground of realization, not intellectual debate. What Sri Aurobindo is revealing is not on the basis of intellectual debate, on the ground of his realization. That's what he says. Well, I understand those who want to follow Mayavad. I myself have gone through it. But what can I do? He says that the Nirvana walked into my life without even as much as asking, may I come in, sir? But what can I do if God came and filled that silence with the fullness of the divine? So he had gone through all these experiences and realizations. So when he's telling us, it's okay, we are trying to understand intellectually, but he's telling us on the strength of his own realization that there is something greater than whatever we have done so far in the spiritual history of mankind. So we close where we began from. No, you can say now, then we'll. Yes. Holocaust of the Divine Mother. Yes. So what does it?
He is referring to mother, and her as she is also working in us, and in the representation as our psychic being, I am relating it to be a stupid question.
No. Questions are never stupid. Answers are. Plenty of answers are stupid. Yes.
We are not identified completely with the ego, but in the psychic being and leading the life of psychic, then is it not also our holocaust?
Okay, yeah, I get that point that, well, psychic being has also plunged into creation. That is described. Yes, please sit, Ramnarayan ji. So yes, so the first part is with regard to generally the Purush Sukta speaks about the sacrifice of the Purusha. So it's there in the Rig Veda where, you know, the Purusha offered his own body, brought out the gods, and from different part different thing comes. But if you see the same, Rig Veda speaks about the story of the bride of Brahman, the divine Shakti which has gone and plunged into the inconscient. So she chose to enter into creation, become this inconscient, become its very opposite so that it can be rescued. And this sacrifice the Divine Mother repeats every time in each one of us. Every time she accepts us, it's the same sacrifice. What does she do? She becomes one with us. That's how the Mother says. That I become one with you. I am you. That's what she says. So that you can become me. So she starts from where we are and takes us. So this sacrifice repeats itself. The same sacrifice we see repeated in the life of the Divine Mother, whom we worship as the Divine Mother. And that also Sri Aurobindo reminds. He says, at one point of time, Mother wanted to take all the problems of her. She didn't want us to do any yoga. She said, I'll do it for you. Mother's instinct, if you want to use that word. So she prayed, Sri Aurobindo's letter is there, that may all the desires of the world enter into me so that I can annihilate them. And she says, as a result of her prayer, so far it has been granted to her. This is a prayer in prayers and meditations. And so all the problems, that's why she became very seriously ill. The only time people saw Sri Aurobindo a little serious, it's just before, I think a year or so before the ashram was formed, she was just absorbing everybody. She said, why should my children do yoga? I'll take everything. She was absorbing. She came on deathbed literally. And nobody knew what is the reason. But she was just swallowing that poison. Mothers. Mother, mother, mother. So she is taking in. That the time when Sri Aurobindo had put a halt. No. He had to put his literally foot down. No darshan, nothing. Wait. She was still wanting to. That's the mother, sacrifice. Yes, the psychic being in a miniature form has done something similar in the sense that just as the divine has plunged himself into creation, before the plunging, that is described in Savitri, once in the vigil of the night, because we say, oh, who put us in? Well, there was a meeting. So in the meeting, the divine and all our chinna psychic beings sat together as the jivatma. Chale, kaha? Udhar. Shadow, otherness of self. Kya hai wahan? Dikh to nahi raha hai. Yahan to light hi light hai. Supermind mein hai origin. Psychic originates. Not the psychic being, but the jivatma, central being in the supermind. So everything is light, beauty, bliss, everything. Sri Aurobindo describes this state in the divine soul in chapter in Life Divine. House of the spirit and the new creation. He says, shall we? Ah, this is something bungee jumping. This one delight we don't have. The delight of the adventure of consciousness of plunging into the inconscient. So the divine says, are you sure? Will you come along? Of course, I'll be the first one who will do. Okay. Divine Mother, the Lord himself, they plunge into creation and we come. And then we peopled this night with stars, which are like little psychic sparks. And this is what has been growing. This is the story of Marthand also in Rig Veda, where Marthand is the eighth son of Aditi who has been cast into the darkness and is battling with the night. So yes, we chose. So in a way, it is a sacrifice. But there is a big difference. See, we were not full. So we can't use the word sacrifice here. Why? Because we were like little seed. A seed from the tree cast itself into the earth. Is it sacrifice? Not really. It is road to fulfillment. But the divine is already full. He becomes nothingness. That is sacrifice. So the psychic being is not called a sacrifice because, well, this is our road to fulfillment. We came here as a little seedlet and now we are growing. But for the Divine Mother, it is a sacrifice. And of course, for the Divine also, being the Purusha, both, because they have sacrificed so that, of course, in a larger sense, we will say it is their own play. Yes, it is true. But that's the whole idea of sacrifice. The Holocaust means that.
Sir,
Okay, so Kaveri River calling.
Yes, thank you.
We have one. Gemma.